KGMI and the Cascade Radio Group receive financial compensation to present this program in its entirety. Opinions and information expressed are those of the host and or sponsors and do not necessarily reflect those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group. It's time to get informed and inspired. This is Saturday Morning Live, sponsored by Asset Advisors LLC on KGMI, News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
Well, but welcome, Whatcom County? What can I say? I don't know. For some reason, I didn't get the beat that I guess I was waiting for. Good morning, Whatcom County. We're live. We're about liberty. We're focused on you. My name is Chris Halterman. I am your host today for Saturday Morning Live. And today, we're going to have the world famous, or maybe Whatcom County famous, Dylan Honkoop is in studio with me, and we're going to talk about a favorite topic of his and something that I am very, very, very concerned about. I've been concerned about it for over a decade, going on 2 decades, pretty much ever since I, you know what, Dylan, ever since I started doing the show, the very first show I did was on water.
Yeah.
And I was totally ignorant of the entire subject until then. So Dylan Honkoop is going to be in studio with me. Very quickly, a couple things I want to say, take a break, and we'll come back so we can have a long conversation about the war on farming. We're hearing a lot these days about two words, okay? One they call equity, the other one they call equality. And they're trying to kind of mush and mash and combine them together like they actually mean the same thing. And nothing could be further from the truth. A good way to understand the difference is that equity is the redistribution of something of value, okay? You've got something of value. They want to take it and redistribute it amongst everybody so we all have an equal amount. That's equity. That means you take something away from somebody else who didn't necessarily earn it, and give it to somebody or who did earn it and give it to somebody else who didn't necessarily earn it. Equality is the equal opportunity to achieve something of value. That means you, your neighbor, your family member, the person across the street, the person on the other side of the state, we all are supposed to have the equal opportunity to go out and achieve something of value to ourselves, something we value, so long as it's lawful. And I hope you understand that. Stop letting them mash them together because they do not mean the same thing. And our Constitution is not based on equity. It is based on equality. And until you have equality, you will never even come close to equity, which is an entirely impossible goal. You can never do it. It can never happen, not in reality. So the other something I want to talk about is things that should concern you very much so now, today, and really until we get political leadership that is willing to take on what I've heard to be the three I's. That's inflation, interest, and immigration. And until they truthfully, honestly, take these three issues on, we're going to continue to have some real economic turbulence in our nation and across the world, personally. So we're at a tipping point, and that's called the maximalist point of no return, the tipping point. Are we there? The war on farming, when we get back with Dylan Honkoop, we're going to talk about that. This is Saturday Morning Live, and we'll be right back.
Homelessness is a challenge many face in Whatcom County, but there is hope. Since 1923, the Lighthouse Mission Ministries has been providing shelter and services for those who need it most. Lighthouse Mission provides a safe and caring environment for individuals and families experiencing homelessness. The mission offers a warm bed, hot meals, and supportive community to help hurting neighbors back on their feet. But they don't stop there. With the help of generous people in our community, the Lighthouse Mission also offers case management, addiction recovery services, job training, and educational resources to help people achieve achieve long-term success. Everyone deserves a chance to rebuild their life. Your help is needed to make that happen. Your donation will make a huge impact on the lives of men and women in our community. Please visit thelighthousemission.org to learn more about how you can help support our neighbors who are homeless. Your donation will make a huge impact on the lives of men and women in our community. Please visit thelighthousemission.org to learn more about how you can help support our neighbors who are homeless. Together, we can provide a brighter future for those in need. Lighthouse Mission Ministries, where hope begins. Learn more at thelighthousemission.org.
The Mill at 7th, Linden's hidden jewel of a restaurant on Front Street. You'll find comfortable dining, top shelf service with consistently delicious food. If you haven't experienced The Mill, it's time to visit.
Hi, I'm Linda, owner of The Mill at 7th. I want to invite you to come dine with us. Our staff and I have worked hard to create an atmosphere that provides you with a welcoming experience with fresh, enticing foods, cocktails, and a wonderfully unique selection of wines.
Listen to what our customers have to say. CJ says,
we love to eat here. Plan on spending some relaxing time in an environment that's warm and inviting. The staff is so sweet and the food is so yummy.
Ashley says,
The Mill is one of my go-to dinner spots. The food and atmosphere are always exceptional and the service can't be beat. If you want an amazing appetizer, get the apple crostini. You won't be disappointed.
Stop by The Mill today for an exceptional date night experience. Group parties and catering options at The Mill at 7th, downtown Linden on Front Street under the windmill.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group.
Welcome back. It's Saturday Morning Live. We're live, we're about liberty, and focused on you. In studio with me today is Dylan Honkoop. You know Dylan Honkoop as the Farming Hour. Yep. He also works.
Got off the air.
Yeah.
And now I'm back on the air.
And he also does a lot of great documentaries, works with that, does a lot of interviewing and stuff of that nature through Whatcom Family Farmers.
Yep. Whatcom Family Farmers and Save Family Farming, where I'm the communications director.
Yes. But you're putting together a lot of important information. And I've wanted to have this conversation with you for a long time, but since I only do this periodically now, and it's, you know, it's like there's always something critical that I want to talk about, but I'm sorry that we didn't get an opportunity to talk about this before the legislative session finished up. Hopefully, someone out there will listen, because I don't believe we can solve this through the politicians anymore. It's really got to be the people. The people have to get behind the farmers. And
and part of the problem, too, with our politicians is they need to see that this is important to people.
Yes.
And if we have a public that is tuned out, mm-hmm. not connected to farming,
mm-hmm.
then they aren't going to be aware of the problems that are being caused in Olympia, in D.C., and elsewhere. So that's why communication and the people, as you say, are an important ingredient to this. Right. In the old days, you know, lobbyists or whoever would go and in support of farming and say, hey, this is a bad idea. You know, we need to steer this policy this way or that way.
Mm-hmm.
And there was responsiveness to that. That doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
We're in an activist culture, and activism generally wins the day.
Yep.
And that has to do with, you know, the politician's perception of, you know, what people want and what people are upset about and what the outrage is out there. And if there isn't a perception that there's outrage about something, it's going to be hard for a politician to support it. And in fact, there's outrage from the other side, people who think they know better. And, you know, oftentimes a lot of the people involved in this have what they feel are good intentions, but they're supporting things that are not helpful for farming.
The thing is that, and you know what, the listening audience, if you want to ask a question of Dylan or, you know, share an experience, if you're a farmer out there or you've been in farming or you just have in general a question, you know, feel free to call in. You know, we're open to take calls today. But the thing is that you have, yes, you have activism. A lot of the people that are activists are paid to be activists. They're mm-hmm. not doing it just out of the generosity of their heart. I'm not saying that nobody does, but the vast majority of the people that are down there pounding Olympia and the squeaky wheel that's there every day saying right. what they say, which is not the reality. It's an agenda, okay? And it's an agenda that, in my personal opinion, is all about the destruction of small farmers, small, medium-sized farmers. And they, when they stand up there and they're telling you, you got to do this regulation and you've got to do this over here and you've got to do that over there because otherwise we're going to be taken over by these big mega corporation farming, agri-corporate farming.
Right.
But the reality is everything that they're asking is pushing that to be the actual outcome.
Exactly right.
And they can't be that stupid. Okay, I'm not giving it. Well, I don't give them that out anymore. I don't give them an out that they're stupid. They know what their agenda is somewhere down the line.
I think for some people at a very high level, small farms are inconvenient.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are a lot of people, though, that go along with this mantra that you're talking about. Well, we need to do this better. We need to do that better. And I'm using air quotes for mm-hmm. that. Not recognizing that the red tape that results in here, there, you know, this pressure, you know, costs of labor, costs of fuel, costs of regulation over food safety, over, you know, salmon habitat, all these things start
cost
to stack.
Cost of time.
Yeah.
Time.
All these things start to add up to the point where it's no longer feasible to grow food.
Mm-hmm.
You're killing the golden goose, essentially. Well, not golden goose in terms of
exactly,
lots of money, but in terms of what we need to eat and
that's an analogy that I try to use all the time. You must always, whatever type of business it is, whether it's farming, whether it's recreation, whether it's whatever the business is, that business is the golden goose. And the more you feed the golden goose, the more eggs it's able to lay, the more benefit it's able to bring across for the entire, you know, for the public. And the more that you starve it, because that's what you're doing, the less eggs until eventually that goose is dead or gone.
For the sake of argument, I'd say, you know, there is the need for rules.
Well, of course.
I'm not advocating for anarchy.
But there's a balance.
Exactly. There's a balance point. And when the rules become so onerous that it begins to kill. And in this case, it's something pretty important to everybody.
Right.
Because we eat food.
Right.
It's interesting that at the same time that people are becoming more food aware. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the trends. People are really concerned about what they're putting in their bodies. And they should be.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be eating healthier, and we need to be conscious of how our food is produced. That's a good thing.
Right.
But then when the solutions that are being sold to the public
right.
to improve those things don't actually jive with what's happening in the farm, it's actually making it so hard to farm that it's not feasible anymore. Those farms are going out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's not benefiting the very thing that you hold as
that the politicians keep saying, that's what we're doing. We're here to make sure that we've got good labor practices, good farming practices, and it's the benefit, and there's a good benefit to the public.
And those are all good things.
But that's not. But the end game isn't happening on any of those, mm-hmm. okay? Because they've made it to the point where, as you talk about, you've got these onerous regulations with regards to being able to employ people. It's a seasonal type job.
Mm-hmm.
So you obviously have to, when it's a seasonal, people have to come into the area and then they're generally going to leave and go someplace else. It's not like, I mean, it's not like there's a lot of people that can just sit around and collect unemployment the whole time until right. harvest season comes around again or planting season comes around or haying season, whatever it is. So you have all of these variables that the farmers are very aware of, but there's too many elected politicians creating these rules and laws that do not live the experience and do not understand under any circumstance what it's like for the farmer and or the farm worker.
There is something different about farming, too, that needs to be noted here. When you have these pressures pile up, that pressures equal costs, mm-hmm. generally.
Yes.
There are other issues that they create other than costs, but costs is the big driver that's choking family farming mm-hmm. in Washington and across the country and beyond, as we see, you know,
right.
protests in Europe and the crazy things that are being proposed over there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to say it's unique, but it's very different for farming than most other communities are interesting. Well, particularly in terms of how the market works.
Yes.
And being
market weather.
Well, the saying goes in farming oftentimes, the farmers are price takers, not price makers.
Right. Let people understand this better, okay? So farmers go out there and they produce, and there's multitude of them that are out there and they're producing the same thing. And then there are the markets that they take that to, and those people are the ones who are buying the product, and then for these other entities, whether it be for the canneries, for the supermarkets, for, you know, wherever it's going to go. And
right.
they are the ones that are out there saying, okay, this is what you're going to get with regards to, you know, this is what we can get you.
Yeah. And the reality is those people making those buying decisions, buying products from farmers, have options in a lot of cases to buy goods and even the fresh fruits and vegetables that we eat from other countries
right.
that don't have these same costs.
Right.
And have a very different cost structure. And so it's very tough then for the farmer here to say, well, we'll provide it at that price point. We'll beat a price point that someone in Peru or Mexico can produce something for. And that's where our food is getting offshored, which is another thing that Americans need to wake up to, and right. particularly here in Washington, we can grow just about any, aside from your tropical fruits and things like that, we can grow just about anything here in Washington State. It's very diverse, lots of specialty crops. We could be self-sufficient here in Washington State if we were given
the flexibility to be able to do what's necessary to grow
yeah.
them and make, you know, and grow a healthy crop. Obviously, farmers should grow
yeah.
that which the consumer wants to eat.
Right. But most of those things, not most, but more and more of those things are no longer feasible
right.
to be grown. Asparagus is one example. We grow incredible asparagus here in Washington. It's disappearing left and right.
Because
it's too expensive here in Washington with all of the red tape, the labor costs, et cetera,
labor
to produce
yeah.
asparagus. And so where is it coming from? Our asparagus is coming from Mexico and other places like that.
And as far as I know, asparagus is relatively easy to grow, is it not?
It's easy to grow. It's
labor-intensive.
Labor-intensive to harvest
because
it's got to be
yeah.
done by hand generally.
Yeah. And it doesn't last a long time.
Right.
Yeah. I have somebody called in, Roger from Ferndale, and he has a question for you.
Okay.
What farm animals were causing pollution? Any updates on that? And I want you to he's on the air. Oh, hi, Roger. How you doing?
Good.
So I just read your question for you. So I'm going to let Dylan kind of talk about that, and then keep in mind that the most natural fertilizer out there is cow manure, and they've taken it away. But go ahead.
Well, so Roger, you're talking about cows.
Well, no, you did a few years ago. You did a program on this. I don't know. The state gave money or something. They were going to do DNA testing on the pollution in the water see what animals it was coming from. And I was wondering if that got kind of just forgot about, pushed to the side because it didn't get the answers they wanted, or?
It's still out there. It was a very difficult and expensive project to identify via DNA. And this is about water quality that Roger's asking.
Yes.
And you know, that has been an issue in the past. What if there is, if there are contaminants in our streams? And here in Whatcom County, a lot of our streams go out the, you know, Nooksack watershed out to Portage Bay, and there's shellfish out there. There's farmers out there who do shellfish, and the tribal community is very involved in that community and business of harvesting shellfish. The question is, are we keeping those things safe and clean via clean water? And so there had been some issues. Those issues have improved dramatically. And we've found that a lot of the DNA came from humans and from birds and other things other than dairy after things have been cleaned up.
So, okay, so what was the what did they specifically identify? Multitude
well,
of things?
Well, it's a lot of different
multitude
things.
Multitude of
pet
things.
Waste ended up being one of the big ones.
Yeah, I mean, that was when you started to get into the more urbanized areas, correct?
Yep.
Okay. We have to take
Is that why we didn't hear about it?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's something that we've been communicating about at Whatcom Family Farmers from time to time. And a newer issue is pollution coming from Canada now that's entering our streams. And what are we going to do about that? What's the source of that? But
we're going to take our bottom of the hour break, Dylan, and then we'll come back. Roger, if you want to hang on, if you have any other comments, that's fine. But we'll be back as soon as we're done.
That was good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in, Roger. This is Saturday Morning Live, and we'll be right back.
This is Dick Donahue, host of Wealth Wake Up here on KGMI. These are interesting and challenging times with all the political turmoil both in the United States and overseas. How we address our financial decisions are top of mind with our clients and prospects. My many years of experience as a financial advisor are valuable as we help our clients paint a picture of their ideal lives. The independence we have through LPL Financial to offer non-proprietary solutions is equally important. So call us at Asset Advisors at 360-733-1200. Check out our website at wealthwakeup.com and join us at 11 a.m. each Saturday for Wealth Wake Up Live or 9 a.m. Sunday mornings for Wealth Wake Up here on KGMI.
The opinions voiced on Wealth Wake Up or in our podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision.
Dedicated to service, shining a light on local individuals, law enforcement, and groups giving back to our community. Brought to you by Nieder House of Luxury in Bellingham.
Mackenzie Powell and family turned a negative into a positive when they discovered their new home had housed a seasonal colony of brown bats in the attic. After cleanup, they reached out to Bellingham Makerspace to create an alternate living space when the bats returned this spring. Enter local Girl Scout Amber Nearing, who took on the project of building 40 bat boxes. With a huge assist from Makerspace volunteers Sandy and Mark, the two families, the Bat Conservancy, and our local Department of Fish and Wildlife, the Bat Colony and the Powell family will safely coexist this spring.
Dedicated to Service, brought to you by Nieder House of Luxury. Go see why they were recently voted Best Startup Business and Best Jewelry Store in the Northwest. Stop by today to view their beautiful selection of GIA-certified and lab-grown diamonds, plus unique custom designs with an in-house jeweler. Find them at 21 Bellwether Way next to Lombardi's Back Patio.
Breaking news, Bellingham. KGMI.com is now MyBellinghamNow.com. You don't have to change a thing if you already rely on KGMI.com. Stay in touch with KGMI and your community. We're committed to keeping you informed with the latest unbiased news, and we're committed to keeping it completely free. No subscription, no commitment, no cost. MyBellinghamNow.com. The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Rest easy in a cool home this summer. Contact West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical to add AC to your existing system for as little as $140 a month. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham,
streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
CBS News Brief. Heavy equipment is moving into place in the port of Baltimore to remove debris after the Key Bridge collapse. Este Pinchazen is commander of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
By investing this time now in the engineering, we're going to be able to move faster later. And I know right now everyone wants to see things moving. You need to know, you need to trust that behind the scenes it's moving.
Pope Francis skipped a popular Good Friday procession of the cross in Rome. Here's CBS's Jeff Glore.
The Vatican says he skipped the traditional Good Friday procession to preserve his health ahead of Easter. He is expected to preside at an Easter vigil service today and celebrate Easter Mass tomorrow.
Spring storms are hitting parts of the West Coast. Weather Channel meteorologist Kelly Cass.
Some spots could see perhaps 3 to 5 inches of rain. And then, of course, you've got the snow that's going to be piling up across the High Sierra. We have had quite a busy winter season on the West Coast.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Welcome back. We're live. We're about liberty. It's Saturday morning live. And in the studio with me is Dylan Honkoop. And he is Whatcom Family Farmers and Save Family Farming. You hear him every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. You better be up and listening because he produces all of that. Welcome back, Dylan. I wanted to go over, because I've really been paying attention to what's happening over in the European Union. And there's a lot of bad things happening over there, and there's also a lot of good things happening over there. And I'm sorry, folks, if you're only watching ABC, NBC, CBS, blah, 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 you are not seeing what's really happening in the European Union right now. There is a total pushback happening with the forced top-down control of farming in the European Union. The things that they want them to do, and some of these things they may be having to do already. And think about this, okay? Think about if this is how you want it. 5G collars on your cows. Got to know where all those cows are. We got to track them all. Got to put a 5G collar on them. Farmers being paid not to farm. So when they do that, then they use that farmland, which once it's gone, it's very hard to get back, for rewilding projects and or energy projects. Solar panels, wind farms. And lately, there's been a lot of solar panels that have just been destroyed from hail. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that was
10,000 acres of solar panels destroyed. I'm sorry. I mean, you think that BP is going to get destroyed by a hailstorm? I don't think so.
Yeah,
lasts a heck of a lot longer. The push for large corporate farms. They want these small and medium farms to go away. Do less farming. Do these big corporate ag farms, indoor farming. Farming using artificial light, not using natural sunlight, which is crucial to having good, healthy food. Using drones and robotics so you don't need human farmers anymore. The push for fake food. All of this supposedly because it's good for you because it's going to push us to net zero. Let's see, net zero, less CO2, less ability to grow food. Sorry, doesn't actually add up. Our plants, all plants, need CO2. Lots of CO2 is good. So I can't quantify that. I can't justify that they're trying to have less CO2 because that makes farming even more difficult because you have to artificially put it in there.
Well, one of the big concerns with CO2 emissions from farming is cattle.
Right.
And the reality is that CO2 in at its core is different than CO2 derived from, say, fossil fuels, if people are concerned about that.
Right.
And there's also been a lot of cooking the books as far as the numbers that get presented on emissions totals as farming as compared to transportation or other sectors of our economy.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is the carbon that comes from cows is carbon that was in the soil.
Right.
Because cows eat crops and they produce manure. And if it's done regeneratively in a way that's not forced top down, but led by the farmer, that carbon then continues in the cycle back into the field.
And keeps your soil alive.
Grows crops, cows eat it. So it's not new carbon to the system. It's carbon that's been through that cycle.
And it's just starting over again.
Who knows how many times.
That's right. And like I said, it actually feeds the soil. It's like composting feeds the soil. The cow manure is the same thing because cows are vegetarians, are they not?
Yep.
And they've just digested it really well. And it's in a much more maybe concentrated form, but the farmer's smart enough to figure out how to apply that onto the fields, in a responsible manner.
Well, and there are practices that are better and worse for keeping that carbon in that system.
Yes.
So let's encourage that and make it feasible for the farmer to do that rather than forcing it from a, you know, heavy-handed government mandate that doesn't necessarily jive with reality. Instead of improving things, it makes it so that farm can't stay in business, goes out of business, and that food is grown elsewhere or by, you know, like you're talking about, a lot of these rules force farms to get bigger, yet the public doesn't want that. The public wants small farms. They feel good about that small farm, red barn vibe. But the reality is all of these rules that are so, quote unquote, making things better are making it so that only the biggest of the biggest can survive by, you talked about, well, maybe they make a penny. Well, on scale,
on scale, they're able to make it.
Your margin can still.
And not only that, but these top down rules that so a farm in Whatcom County on the west side doesn't have the same needs as a farm down in maybe southwest Washington, as the same needs as a farm in northeast or southeast, because you have different soils, you've got different temperature, you've got different weather, everything is different. And that's why it's so important not to have these strangulation type regulations placed upon anybody, really.
Yeah.
You've got to have the ability to adapt if you want to have a healthy, vibrant agricultural. Otherwise, what are we going to do? We're going to have them all in, I don't know, multi-story huge buildings with artificial light where you're pumping in CO2 artificially into the air, where you're using chemically created nutrients and everything to try to keep it sterile. Because believe me, if you get an outbreak of anything in a building, good luck when they're using the same HVAC system controlling that.
This is exactly what the public doesn't want, yet the policies that they're supporting continue to push us in that direction. That's the thing that people can't see. I will say, you know, a lot of people think, well, farmers complain about the same thing for a long time. It's an old trope now. Mm-hmm. Farmers complaining about red tape. But the reality is, it is making, and I will say, the farming community probably in the past was guilty of too much complaining or the wrong kind of complaining. It's changed now. And unfortunately, people think it's crying wolf because of that past of complaining about red tape. Now it is actually killing farms. And family farming is in crisis in Washington State. In the last 5 years, what was the 2020 census. So 5 years prior to that, Washington State lost an average of 743 farms per year during that time period.
Yeah, but you're losing more now.
And that means that maybe we're growing some less food, but oftentimes it's bigger and bigger farms that are growing the same food versus small farms. This is the thing that is showing it's not just crying wolf. This is really starting to accelerate and affect farms' ability to stay in business here in Washington.
Right. Well, and before I ask this question that Cindy called in about, today, right now, at this moment, is the strongest voice that farmers and the public will have at any point in time. If they start speaking out and start pushing back in the same way that these activists who are basically pushing, you know, they, you know, I don't know. I don't have any proof of where this money comes from,
right,
and who's paying them to do this, but they're obviously not working for keeping small and medium-sized farms. And that's all I've heard ever since I started listening to all this stuff down at county council,
yep,
city councils, is all about, well, we have to save the local farming. It's really important. Well, I'm sorry. If you're losing farms, and they keep telling you they're losing farms, and you've been pushing this direction for decades now, maybe you might start to take some of the blame for what's happening and actually start to listen to the people. I went to that one event out at the, it was out at a grange out there off of the Everson Goshen Road, and it was with the Department of Ecology, and it was all of these livestock farmers, and they were talking about all of the water, some of the water stuff that was coming down the pike, and a lot of it had to do with, you know, the whole, what's that, the streams of the waters of the WOTUS, of the U.S., right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it broke my heart, is this elderly gentleman, you know, farmer. He's sitting there, you know, and he's kind of bent over, and he's got his he's trying to be nice. And they get done telling them all these things that, you know, they want them to do. And he looks him straight in the face, and he says, so if we do all of these things, are you going to go away? And they all stop there, just silent. What do you mean? If we do all these things that you tell us that you want us to do, are you going to go away? Well, why? He says, do you have any idea what it's like to have you guys staring over our shoulder 24/7 while we try to farm?
Mm-hmm.
And they had no answers for this man. None whatsoever. And this guy at the time probably had to be at least in his, you know, 70s or so. We're going to take a real quick thing before we take a break. Cindy was asking, and I don't have the answer to this. Do marijuana farms get taxed and regulated the same way that berry and dairy and corn and all of the others? Do you know?
I don't know if all the regulations are the same, but certainly they have a lot of rules and regs that they have to follow in that world as well. And interestingly enough, I've heard from people who've gotten into that who didn't necessarily have the same farming background. And, you know, that was a strange situation with the market. All of a sudden, boom, here's this market that didn't exist before, and it had to find equilibrium.
Uh-huh.
But those folks saying, wow, this is really hard.
Yeah.
And these regulations and pressures are really onerous.
Yeah,
and really frustrating.
Yeah,
so I have heard that from folks in that world.
It's been quite a learning curve for them.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. We come back. We're going to talk some more to Dylan Honkoop about the war on farming.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with everything I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of dry AMD called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, colors appear dull or washed out. For others, hazy or blurred vision make it hard to see details, like fine print on price tags. Many have trouble seeing in the dark, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you think you have GA, don't wait. Treatments are available. Ask a retina specialist about FDA-approved treatments for GA and go to GAWon'tWait.com.
How'd we earn our reputation for repairs you can trust? Great mechanics? Yeah. Quality parts? Absolutely. But the real secret is knowing the most important part of every vehicle is the driver.
And here's your keys. She's all ready.
Right on time. Thanks.
With over 30 years of service, you can trust Bellingham Automotive to help you with any regular maintenance needs or unexpected repairs. Schedule your appointment at 360-676-5200 or visit bellinghamautomotive.com.
There's a lot going on right now, and broadcasters are on the ground covering all of it, bringing you the weather, the traffic, and breaking news, all while entertaining you 24 hours a day. Someone needs to tell you what's going on around the world and in our hometowns, and that someone is us. We are free radio. We are always there. We are broadcasters. Visit wearebroadcasters.com or text radio to 52886 to learn more. Furnished by NAB and this station.
Welcome back. It's Saturday Morning Live. We're live. We're about liberty, focused on you. My name is Chris Halterman, host this morning with the great Dylan Honkoop of Whatcom Family Farmers, Save Family Farming, talking about the war on farming. Before we go in and talk a little bit more about what's happening in the EU and what needs to happen here, Tom from Port Angeles would like to say hi, or do you have a comment, Tom?
Yeah, hi, kids. Nice to hear both of you. And Dylan, how is the Bambino?
Bambinos.
Yeah, all three of them. They're wild and crazy as can be, as you would expect.
How old are they now?
Oh, let's see, 8, 5, and 3.
I can't believe it's been that long.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Well, okay. Thanks for doing it, and I'll be brief. You're fighting the fight. You're still fighting the good fight, and I appreciate that a lot. But thanks.
No, thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
You know, and he brings up a good point, okay? Fighting the good fight. And there's so many farmers who have basically given up the fight, so many residents of the state of Washington who have given up the fight. And the only thing I say to him is, I understand, I do. It's not that I don't feel exactly the same way every time they do one more thing that makes it almost impossible to afford to live here, to afford and be capable of running business here, to be able to farm, etc. When you quit, they've won.
That's how I feel about it, too, and I've had that conversation with a lot of people. Same thing. It's like, I get it. I understand why. And for the first time in a long time recently, I've thought, in some ways it would be nicer to live in a different state. But again, that means they win.
That's right. And that war will then just move out to where you move to.
Yeah. Those that support this regime of, you know, more and more top-down control. You're exactly right.
Yep, you just have to keep pushing forward, pushing forward, pushing forward. Because, you know, they keep saying, "Well, we have to compromise. We have." I'm compromised out. To be perfectly honest, I'm compromised out. We have to go back the other direction till we get into balance. Because we are totally out of balance right now. We are out of balance for farmers and farming. We're out of balance for business to be able to operate. We're out of balance for people to be able to afford to live in this community. They have taken us out of balance. And don't blame it on the greedy business person. They are just trying to survive, whether you understand that or not. And when you sit there and say that this person, you know, didn't work for it or didn't, go stand in their shoes before you say such a thing. You don't know what it's like to go to bed at night wondering, am I going to be able to pay the bills? Am I going to be able to pay my employees? Am I going to be able to pay all those payroll taxes and business taxes and federal income taxes and corporate taxes? You have no idea what it's like to lay your head down on the pillow and worry about that. And then also worry about your own family and your own family's ability to pay for things. You know, it's
not as easy as people think.
No.
People think that there are some out there in business, and I think in farming, people think this about farming as well. They're just printing money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Oh, how easy is that? But then it takes more of them dollars to buy that same thing you need to produce that crop. Yeah.
We heard this in discussion about labor, and we don't have time to get into all the details of why labor is so expensive here in Washington State. But it, there again, balance is a great word, mm-hmm. because there was a hearing a while back where an activist, and I talked about this on my show, said farmers, I read somewhere that farmers are getting record profits, is what he said. Well, there's a big difference between profits and revenue.
That's right.
And if you don't understand that, you don't understand right. very much of anything about business. Yeah, in fact, there was record revenue
right.
for certain classes of farming.
Gross revenue. There's but a difference. Gross revenue
yeah.
and gross revenue minus your expenses, net profit. And at the bottom,
yeah.
that's what you have left over yep. to try to go on into the next year.
So the gross revenues in some cases that were being talked about were higher,
mm-hmm.
but the costs were even higher. So
that's
the net
correct.
Profit was lower.
That's right. That's right.
But if you don't understand those basic things, you don't see that bigger picture.
Well, you've now just given the audience more reason why teaching economic principles and not numbers necessarily. Yes, there's some numbers in it, but understanding how an economy gives and takes and works together in order to produce the ability for people to work, to live, and to play in places like Whatcom County. So let's talk about what's happening in the EU. So
yeah.
if you, like I said, if you're watching ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, whatever, CNN, you're not seeing what's happening in the European Union. They have been, for what, almost 9 months now? Been on major protesting, especially in the Netherlands. They won in the Netherlands. I don't know if they're still doing what they were doing, but in the Netherlands, they were basically going to force farmers to give up their land because they wanted to develop them to bring immigrants into and onto their property. And so they were forcing them and forcing them basically out of their livelihoods and off of their property. So they all took to their tractors and they drove to the state capital, not state capital, wherever the parliament was at there in the mm-hmm. Netherlands. They all came by the thousands and the thousands, and they brought their hay and they brought their manure, and they brought themselves. They blocked the roads. They did burn the hay, but in the middle of the road, so they weren't doing anything other than they needed to get the attention of the public and the politicians. This is not okay for you to take the breadbasket of the European Union and force us not to be able to farm. And they're doing the same thing all across Europe. And now all the farmers all across Europe are banding together and pushing back and saying, you are forcing us out of farming. This is not okay. Food security is a big deal. And especially when you see things like the Francis Scott Key bridge go down,
mm-hmm.
a huge avenue for all of the things that the farms in the Midland need right now for importing, because they don't have to use the tunnel systems there because they're
right.
oversized loads or all of the other regulations that they have to deal with. So what do we do? How do we get people here in our community, our state, our nation to come together to wake people up?
Well, what it's sad that it's had to get to that point in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I can
it is.
See why, though, because there's rumblings of those kinds of things here. Obviously, it hasn't gotten to that point. We haven't seen, the kinds of protests here that they have there. But ultimately, what's happening is a matter of communication,
mm-hmm.
you can say.
Yes.
And maybe this is my bias because I'm a communications director for farming yeah. advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're doing there in Europe is communicating that there is a major problem. And they're communicating, obviously, in an incredibly bold way.
Right.
They feel like that's their only option to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
How can we avoid that? What can we do here
mm-hmm.
is listen.
Yes.
Policymakers need to be listening to what's going on. And the farming community, I will say, also needs to be speaking out in a way that's relevant and comes across for pertinent, appropriate change.
They have to stop being afraid that it's going to put a target on their back, okay? They do. They have to be honest.
Yeah, weakness is provocative. Yes. Not saying anything, just putting your head down and keep on farming doesn't work. And that's the more dangerous position to take. And that's been what I've been preaching for years to the farming community, is we need to speak out. Otherwise, we will be left behind. It's a community, though, that inherently is not into speaking out.
No,
because
no,
farmers, by their general nature, are people who like to be on their own, working on their farm, not in the public eye.
They don't like to air their dirty laundry.
It's decentralized, even though that's changing and it's being centralized, but it's a decentralized community that doesn't have its own PR department.
Right. And but you know, and the other point too is our local and state media, be it the Bellingham Herald, be it the Cascadia Weekly, be it Cascade Radio, the new session that they have, Metro News, all these things, they need to start focusing also and reporting and letting people know, this is what's happening over here. See what's happening here? That's what's going to happen all over our state, our county, and the nation if we don't wake up and start listening and start supporting this industry. Food security is huge. You can't live without food. You can live without a politician, but you can't live without food. And those politicians listen to the public. You have to stop being afraid. You have to start lifting your voice and making yourself heard in positive ways. Last words.
Oh, man. There's a lot to unpack that we just don't have time to get to. But speaking out, knowing what's going on, being honest about what's happening, I think is key to avoiding ending up where Europe is.
Yes. Thank you so much, Dylan. Thank you so much, audience. Have a great, beautiful day. Happy Easter weekend. This is Saturday Morning Live, signing off.